Blog Talk Radio.
Well, shalom, shalom again, and welcome to another Hebraic Journey Through the Bible broadcast. And for those of you that are very familiar with us, you know that my name is John Wesley Atkins. And for the next 30 minutes, I will be one of your co-hosts. I, of course, am a Messianic pastor or Messianic rabbi, and our quest is to unravel the Hebraic truths hidden deep within the New Testament scriptures of our faith. Now, these Hebraic truths, as have been spoken and told many, many times, are designed to answer perplexing questions that tend to hinder our spiritual relationship with our Heavenly Father and with Yeshua, our Savior, and for some of us on this call, our husband. Now, at this time, I have the distinct pleasure to introduce the other half of the co-host, and that is Evangelist Tanita Jones.
Hello, and thank you, Rabbi John, for the introduction. I just want to say that I'm glad to be a co-host of the show with you. It's been a blessing to share the truth of the Word of God, y'all. And this is our 37th show, and we will continue to answer the question about how to remain properly cleansed as a living tabernacle. So I'll hand the show back over to you, Rabbi John. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you. And I'm going to go ahead and get us started by first praying and allowing the Holy Spirit to just begin to permeate the airways and begin to touch the hearts of those who are palatable and ready to receive and to fulfill all that Yah has for them. So, Father, with that being said, I ask you first and foremost to forgive me for any sin or iniquity or transgression. And, Father, I choose by way of your Holy Spirit to also utilize your Spirit, the strength thereof, to be able to forgive those who have sinned against me and my family, against the iniquity that has been caused against me and my family, as well as the transgression against me and my family. Father, I thank and praise you and glorify you for covering us and keeping us and protecting us. I thank you, Father, that you are not only are protecting us, but that you are the teacher and that you're the one that provides the words that permeate the hearts and the minds of the listeners this evening. Father, we just submit all of this to you, and we pray and ask that it would be a sweet-smelling savior into your nostrils and that you get all the glory and all the praise and all the honor. In Yahushua's name, we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
And I'm going to pass it back to Evangelist Tanita to go ahead and kind of give a quick overview, and then we will move forward.
Okay. Thank you, Rabbi John. Again, just so you know, our scripture was Romans 12, verses 1 through 4, and we're answering the question about how can we properly cleanse ourselves as living tabernacles unto Yah in order to host the presence of Yah as it relates to items found on the tabernacle. And so, Rabbi John, you last show, the 36th show, you started out with Colossians 2, 1 through 16, but I want to go to some quick bullet point. And the first one was to take your will captive so that your will has to be put under house arrest because of your thought process towards Yeshua. And so you begin to help us to really understand our will as well as our obedience. The second scripture was 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 9 through 12, and that was dealing with godly sorrow and true repentance, what it is. And then we ended with Proverbs 16, verses 1 through 3. And the bullet point with this one was to begin to obey when we're obeying. That is the beginning of our deliverance. And you made a note that your obedience is the beginning of your deliverance. You used an example of Eve and how Eve was unaware that the serpent was being controlled by the devil, as well as she was actually unaware of anything except what Yah and her husband had said to her. And so only when another original thought that came from the enemy was presented to her that it caused her to sin. And so you told us that Eve didn't know how to filter between Yah and darkness. And the last point was that the adversary is aware that your obedience will begin to fulfill an exorcism. So I'll hand it back over to you, Robert.
Amen. Amen. That was very well done. And let's pick it up at the exorcism. For most of you, you've heard the term, and probably most of you know the definition, but just in case there may be some ambiguity as far as the actual definition of exorcism, is literally when an individual that is possessed or oppressed by the enemy is being the process of that individual being freed from that adversarial force or enemy that is oppressing or suppressing the soul. So this should give us a good understanding of exactly how it works going forward. In other words, going forward, as we begin to walk in obedience, then the exorcism or the deliverance, if you will, begins automatically. That's the reason why individuals who oftentimes, because of false teaching or the lack of teaching, think that they have to go and be delivered by someone, by Joe, Fred, or whoever, or a man or woman of God, think that that's the only out or the only option that they have. That's false. That is a way that the Father has provided through the fivefold ministry to help individuals get set free, yes. But the optimum is for you and I to detox, if I can use that terminology from a physical, medical sense, for us to detox ourselves. Just like in the natural, our body is continually, through the dispelling of waste, it's continually detoxing us on a regular basis. In that same manner, spiritually, the Father is saying our obedience every day to His word, to His will, to His way of doing whatever it is, automatically detoxes you spiritually, automatically begins the process of exorcism. So you don't have to go to a man or woman of God or go through a certain basically process or buy the books and tapes of this individual and that individual to rid yourself and deliver yourself of the enemy. It does work if you use it, but understand God has given you the ability. He's given you the power. He's given me, He's given us the power to deliver ourselves. Now, I said going forward, it works. That's correct. Now, let's look at what happens going backwards. Because in the same manner that it works going forward, as far as you and I delivering ourselves on a daily basis, it also works backwards based upon what we do. That's the reason why our obedience and disobedience, according to Torah, is so vital for us to focus on, because the cause and effect for both aspects dramatically affect your person. I'm going to say that again because it's so important for us to understand this. Obedience causes exorcism. It causes us to be delivered. It causes, in the Greek, sozo, salvation. In the Hebrew, you're really, the word is Yeshua. Salvation in the Hebrew is the word, the person, or the event, excuse me, Yeshua. In the Greek, the understanding of that Hebrew word was and is Yahushua, or Jesus Christ. So even in the Hebrew, receiving salvation is deliverance, and the deliverance refers to and points to the deliverer. The deliverer is needed when you need to be delivered from something. That something that you're being delivered from is toxic, is making you toxic. It's toxifying your being. It's causing you not to fulfill the call and the purpose on your life. So as you or I walk in disobedience, we are allowing ourselves to be demonized.
Mm-hmm.
A good example in the Hebrew or in the Old Testament, and I'm going to have Evangelist Anita, I'm going to have her read this, but I want you to truly pay attention because this is a cause and effect just like gravity, okay, as far as, you know, what we understand gravity to be. And this is in Genesis chapter 31, okay? And I want her to read both 18 and 19. Now, in Genesis chapter 31, just to get everybody up to speed and kind of give them a historical understanding of what's going on here, Jacob is now in the process of fleeing from Laban. Laban basically, if you will, has him imprisoned, in a manner of speaking, because he realizes that the anointing of God and the favor of God is on Jacob, and that whatever Jacob puts his hands to do pertaining to business, and in this case, of course, it was dealing with his cattle and his sheep, that Laban always, always reaped the benefit. And as it began to manifest, Laban began to change the structure of the deal, of the contract, if you will, in order to benefit him. Now, with that being said, most of you probably know that at this time, Jacob has already not married one or two, actually he's married two wives because of the trickery of Laban. Now he has four wives because Rachel, and it's primarily because Rachel was barren. Now, I want you to pay attention to this, even though I'm giving you the background story. I want you to focus now on Rachel. You're going to begin to understand in this particular passage, number one, why Rachel was barren, and number two, what was truly in Rachel's heart. And last but not least, what you will also see is how and why the demonic activity was able to take Rachel out early. Okay? Because she began to focus on and submit to and allow her soul to connect with the demonic forces or the demons, if you will, through the idols of her father. And you'll see that in this particular passage, and then we'll discuss it a little bit more. But if Evangelist Sunita can read Genesis chapter 31, verses 18 and 19. Okay, 19, of course, is where we're really going to focus into the meat. All right, go ahead.
Okay, all right. Genesis chapter 31, starting at verse 18, and it's the New King James Version, Rabbanon. And he carried away all his livestock and all his possessions which he had gained. He acquired livestock which he had gained in Padan Aram to go to his father Isaac in the land of Canaan. Now Laban had gone to shear his sheep, and Rachel had stolen the household idols that were her father's.
You begin to see very quickly where Rachel's heart was. Now, keep this in mind. Rachel, as well as Leah, saw the favor of God on their husband, Jacob. And in verse 18, the pronoun he was always referring to Jacob, okay, just to clarify for everyone. But they've seen the anointing on Jacob. They saw the favor. They heard the stories. They understood the relationship, especially Rachel, because Rachel of all people was the loved and favored of Jacob. So you know those to whom you favor, you're going to share information with them that you wouldn't share with others. Yeshua, Jesus, did the exact same thing. Although he had 12, he shared a certain amount of information with the 12, but there were times, special times, when he would pull the three, okay? and he would share with them more intimate, more sincere, and very personal information, and allow them to see supernatural things that he would not allow the 12 to see. So with that being said, Rachel had information that Leah would have loved to have had, but Leah would have had to pull that out of Jacob to get that information, where Jacob was more willing to just freely give the that type of information to Rachel. So what are you saying? What I'm saying is Rachel had the best opportunity to have an intimate relationship with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And instead, she walked in disobedience based upon what was already in her heart. She had an opportunity to be delivered and chose instead the gods of their particular land, to the point of actually stealing the gods of her father. That not only is it a serious offense, one of the things that is important for us to understand is that she felt a bitterness. Both of them did, because they weren't given any dowry or any blessing from the father. And with that spirit of bitterness here, although it's hard to see without adding that information in, that spirit of bitterness is what drove her to allow the spirit of jealousy and envy to come over her and to steal her father's prized possession idols. Okay? So she heaped upon herself the curses, and they began to multiply because of her disobedience. We need to see this in the light in which we have to know and understand because of the question. And I want Evangelist Tanita to remind us, if you would, very quickly, of what the question was in the beginning of this particular study.
Okay. So the question was, how can we properly cleanse ourselves as living tabernacles unto Yah in order to host the presence of Yah as it relates to items found in the tabernacle? And the example was bronzen altar and bronzen laver.
So now that we're in Genesis chapter 31, let's go to 34, and let's just read 34 so that you can really get an idea of how well-seated the defiance and the rebellion that had set in to Rachel.
Okay. All right. So,
and 35. 31. And verse 35.
Okay. Genesis chapter 31, starting at verse 34 and then 35. Then Rachel had taken the household idols, put them in the camel's saddle, and sat on them. And Laban searched all about the tent, but did not find them. And she said to her father, "Let it not displease my lord that I cannot raise before you, for the manner of women is with me." And he searched, but did not find the household item.
So, first of all, we dealt with the spirit of bitterness that caused her to steal, to cause her to allow the spirit of jealousy and spirit of envy to manifest itself. Now we have a situation where she's lying about her menstrual cycle in order to not have to rise and in order to not be caught. Now, and we didn't go into this, but I just want to share this in between some of the passages of Scripture, like verses 31, 32, and 33. Because Jacob was not aware of what Rachel had done. And so Jacob put a curse upon whoever it was that would or that did steal anything, did steal this particular item, as a matter of fact. He put a curse or a vow, you know, which brought upon a curse. And in that, what it did was that curse lit on Rachel, because he literally was saying, you know, whoever did this, you know, they're worthy of death because it wasn't done. I didn't do it. Well, no, he didn't do it. All right. But his wife did do it and kept it from him. Now, in Numbers 30, it talks about the fact that it falls upon the husband when the husband finds out about it and doesn't say or do anything to recant it within that 24-hour period. So what we begin to see here is we begin to see an operation of curse that it's setting itself up to literally take the love of Jacob's life out of the picture. But what I want to make sure that we bring very clear to the listeners here is that when we, I, you, it doesn't matter whoever it is, when we walk out of the obedience of Yah, then the adverse effect of the exorcism happens and begins to happen to us and to our loved ones. So we have got to make sure we understand that this works for or against. We are responsible for or against. In order for us to keep ourselves clean, we have to walk in that obedience to keep ourselves clean. If we begin to shrink back from that, then we begin to become toxic. This is something that is, it's not something that anyone can speak over you or give a word pertaining to the situation. It's one of those things that God has already placed in order. And because God has placed it in order, you cannot, I cannot, we cannot rescind it. It's imperative that we begin to understand that very thing. Okay? One of the things that I see here, if we jump to Genesis chapter 35, mm-hmm. verses 1 and 2, I want you to see that Jacob takes responsibility and makes sure that his lineage begins to cleanse themselves of the idols that he begins to see has crept in to his relationship, into his family. Okay? Go ahead and read that if you would, Evangelist Tanita. You're going to read Genesis chapter 35, verses 1 and 2, and we'll comment on that. And, of course, we're still talking about cleansing. We're talking about keeping ourselves clean and, you know, and all of that. We're still talking about the spiritual brazen altar. All of that is what we're referring to here. Go ahead.
Amen. Genesis chapter 35, starting at verse 1. Then God said to Jacob, "Arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there, and make an altar there to God, who appeared to you when you fled from the face of Esau, your brother." And Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, "Put away the foreign gods that are among you. Purify yourselves and change your garments."
So he's saying to everyone, to include his wife, because at this particular time, he knows or has a very good idea that they have acquired these pagan idols. And at this particular juncture, as they are worshiping these idols, I'm sure a conversation between him and especially Rachel began to transpire pertaining to how did you acquire this? Because knowing what Laban was saying, now he sees that he has been defiled. Mm-hmm. So it has to be dealt with. And in this particular case, he, by saying this, is saying, let us have our own exorcism. Let us cleanse, purify ourselves. Whenever you see him saying that, just think of an exorcism. It doesn't have to, like I said before, it doesn't have to be as elaborate as what TV and other things have made it to be. Because one of the things that we have to understand is that the enemy, the demonic realm, understands Torah so much more than we do. And even more, they know that when Torah is implemented, they must leave. And we've said this before in other broadcasts pertaining to this question, and that is the problem is not the enemy. The problem is us.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is us and our will. The reason why we need to continue to follow the saturation of the Word is so that we can have the Word in our heart in abundance so it can begin to come out. But as it's coming out, it's filtering what is within. I've done this example before, and it's a very simplistic but yet very profound example. And the example is like I said, very simple, but look past the simplicity and look at the application of the example. The example starts off with just having a clear cup and putting some dirt in the bottom of the cup, and then taking a large pitcher of water, taking the cup itself and putting it into a larger bowl so that the lip of the bowl is higher than the lip of the cup. And the reason for that is because as you pour the pitcher in to the cup, you want to immerse the cup to the point to where the water goes over the lip of the cup, okay? That's why the bowl has to be large enough so that you don't make a mess. So as you begin to pour the water into the cup that has the dirt in it, what happens? Well, most of you already can answer that question. The dirt starts to come out the top, okay, because the dirt will rise and it will start to filter out the water that's in the cup. When you first pour the clear water in the cup gets, you know, gets kind of muddy and all that kind of stuff. And then as you continue to pour, it starts to purify and cleanse. Now, I know a lot of you are getting this analogy already, but for the sake of argument of making sure that you got it, before we close, I want to make sure you understand. Oftentimes you can't, and I can't tell the difference between a heathen and a believer that is getting purified. Because that dirt is the most vilest things that's inside that individual. So if I'm just looking at the external because I haven't been given the gift of the Spirit to discern what's inside the individual, I have to be very cautious, because that which could be a heathen could be an individual that has a relationship with Yeshua but is getting delivered.
Amen.
So as I close with that, I want to make sure that you ponder those things and realize as the Holy Spirit continues to pour, the demons have to manifest themselves. When Yeshua was on the other side of the Galilee at the Gadarenes, those demons that were so infested in that person, that demoniac, had to come, and they began, just based upon the presence of the pureness of the Spirit, they began to manifest. As we begin to cleanse ourselves, be prepared for those types of manifestations, because that's a part of how it works, and we'll talk about that next broadcast. Now, at this time, I'm going to pass it to Evangelist Anita and allow her to go ahead and give you our closing information, and then I'll pray.
Yes. Amen. Thank you, Rabbi John. And again, I'm looking forward to the next show. Ooh, very good, very good. The show is held weekly on Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you can email your questions to tjonesbts@gmail.com. The ministry, again, is called Beth Hashem Ministries, and we have two websites. The first one is www.bethashem.org, and then we have a Facebook page, which is located at www.facebook.com/Beth Hashem Ministries. If you would like to attend our services, you can email us at bethashem@yahoo.com. For those that may be interested in going further in their study of having a Hebraic understanding, we do have Zuhl College, and classes will begin again in January of this year, 2018. And so you can email us at office@bethashem.org. Thank you for attending the show, and I'll hand it back over to you, Rabbi John.
Well, praise Yah, and we thank you for another show. We thank you for another opportunity, more importantly, for the Holy Spirit to come and to begin to illuminate the Word and give us a better understanding of how to walk out the fullness of our deliverance. Beloved, every day is an opportunity to be delivered, and every day is an opportunity to be connected and fulfilled and filled with the Spirit of Yah, so that the Word of Yah and the Spirit of Yah can produce the function and the call and the purpose for your life. So I pray that you not only are listening, but I also pray especially that you are applying these and getting the desired results that Yah desires for you to have in the name of Yahushua. We give you praise and we give you honor and glory for everything that is manifesting in our lives and the lives of our listeners. In Yahushua's name, amen. Shalom, shalom.